Well, good morning. It's a blessing to be gathered together in the house of the Lord. I can't say that I'm standing up here before you and not a little bit jittery for what the Lord has laid in my heart. It will be just a little bit on our journey. This will be the last Sunday that me and my wife will be gathered with you for a while. So bear with me. Something that we miss. While we are gone. This morning, but with joy, I'm standing here. And by the grace of God, I'm going to lift up the name Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So good morning, and I greet you in the name of Jesus. It is a name that many people are probably talking about today. It's a name that many people proclaim to know. But many walk otherwise. So this morning, I'm going to speak on a subject I'll write the title on the board. Inspecting. So what does inspecting mean? What does inspect mean? It means we're going to take a look at it and we're going to inspect it to see if it qualifies, whatever it may be. Amen? So today we're going to inspect our foundation. Now, don't throw me out right away. Because our first thought is Jesus Christ is our foundation. And He needs no inspection. He needs no inspection. But if we read the verse, in Luke 6, turn with me if you would, please. Luke 6, verse 46. I'll begin reading in verse 46. The heading of my Bible says, Building on the Rock. Build on the Rock. It says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and he digged deep. Pay attention. He digged deep. And he laid the foundation on the rock. So there's two. There's the foundation and the rock. So before I go any further, there's probably many of you in here heard the illustration that I'm about to tell you. It is basically in 2015 is kind of where this message was born in my life. I was on a project in San Marcos, Texas. To and fro to the jobs, I witnessed a construction site. And they had a huge excavator. And they began digging the hole. Began digging a hole. And they dug and they dug for weeks. And all the ground they was bringing out of the hole and they was taking up, dumping it on a pile just 100, 200 feet off the side. And I began watching this and watching this. I don't know how deep that hole was. I have no clue. But they had a ramp. They're backing their semis down. Actually, they're driving them down. It was big enough they could turn them around down there. And I'm watching this, and I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, what is going on here? And then one day I drove by, and the excavator that was in the hole was on top of this huge pile. And he was loading the same dirt that he took out of the hole into the same semis. And those same semis was backing down the hole or driving down, and they were dumping the same dirt in the same hole. And I'm thinking, job security? Nah, there's something else. There's something else. And it came to me. There were a few more pieces of equipment involved now. There was a couple tanker trucks up on top of the hole, and they were putting a chemical down into the hole between each truckload. And they had a packer in the hole. And they were packing the same dirt in the same hole. And they got every bit of that dirt in the same hole. That contractor had a blueprint. Brothers and sisters, here's ours. I'm just thinking this, okay? But on that contract, on that blueprint, it says they found a rock or solid dirt. Maybe it says 21 feet and 2 inches. Maybe. I'm just using numbers. And if he was a good contractor, if he had zeal to build a good building, what did he do? If he was zealous for what he did, what did he do? Do you think that he stopped short 2 inches? No. He made sure that he was on that rock, that solid dirt, before he started putting it back in there. So today, we are inspecting our foundation. And I visualized the ground they're putting back, or the chemical that they were putting on the ground, are the biblical principles to have a solid foundation. And we're going to talk about some of those principles today. Those biblical principles that create a solid foundation. So when the floods arise, so when the winds beat vehemently, and they will, brothers and sisters, they will. They will beat vehemently up against our foundation. But if we have it built, if we have it built according to the scriptures, it will say this: beat vehemently on that house, and it could not shake it. What a blessing! What a promise! Amen. You want a foundation that don't shake? Sure we do. So this morning, I'd like to draw a little bit of an illustration. We'll consider this. The rock, Jesus Christ. And our goal is to lay the foundation on that rock. That's our goal. I know that's everybody's goal, and it has been everybody's goal. And I'm not here to tell that I sense anything in here that you're not on the rock. That's not my. But at the same time, let's take an inspection in our own hearts. While I was studying for this, I found myself short. A little weak spot in the foundation. So maybe you're in here today and you find yourself there. Do something about it. Because you want the winds to beat vehemently and you want to stand. And the winds are beating, amen? The wind is beating vehemently. By the way, we have the foolish man over here, and we're not really going to talk about this. This man a lot. But you may be in here. You may be sitting in this audience, in this congregation, and you never made the decision to start building. I'm here to tell you that you're walking on dangerous ground. And I'm in here to encourage you. You need to pay attention to what you're missing out on. Amen? What you're missing out on. If you're sitting in here today and you have never surrendered to the fullness of Jesus Christ, you're on dangerous ground. So we're not going to talk more about the foolish man. We're inspecting our foundation. So we're going to begin to dig our foundation. It says to dig it deep, right? Dig deep, it says in the scriptures. I struggled to write the first one to write in there. And the only one I could come up with is the word selfless. If this word, if this is something that you're struggling with, we'll just put in selfless. Sold out. Sold out. That's a good start, amen? I believe it has to be there first and foremost. Just completely, completely surrendered. First and foremost, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. First and foremost. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let esteem others better than themselves. That's in Philippians 2:3, very familiar verse. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. That's in James 3:16. Romans 15:2. You can write these references down and then you can read them later. I'm not going to turn to all these references. I'm just going to read them as I have them wrote down here. Romans 15:2 says, Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. Psalms 119:36. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Covetousness is the opposite of selfless. Greed. Someone mentioned greed this morning, I think. Caleb did this morning. Has no place in here. We live in a covetous world, society. Everybody wants everything, and they want it now. Or maybe they wanted it yesterday. Selfishness is why our society is where it's at. Lord, help us. The next one is very, very vital as well. Love. It's actually the fruits of the Spirit. If you would, let's turn to Galatians, and we'll just read them. Read them for the sake of time. I won't have to write them all in there. So just turn to Ephesians 5, I think it is. Galatians, sorry. Help me along here. It's Galatians 5. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy. Peace. So let's take inventory. Let's do a little... Let's do some inspection. Where do we stand? By the way, today I'm not talking about anybody outside of these doors and these walls. I'm talking to everyone in here, including myself. Where are we at with love? There's many verses in the scriptures that talks about love. I have a few of them. First Corinthians 8:3 says, "But if any man love God, the same is known of him." So everyone in here, I'm sure, I'm positive, even maybe the ones that haven't surrendered all would say they love God. Amen? The whole world says they love God. No matter who you meet, they love God. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Joy, peace. Where do we stand this morning? With the joy of the Lord. From the scale of 1 to 10. Are we struggling with that joy that only comes from above? If we want to build, if we want to lay the foundation, I say this carefully, but our joy needs to be at 10. With no limit. That'll make of a good foundation. And our joy needs to be there. And what about peace? This world knows nothing about this peace that comes from above, that passes all understanding. Do we have it? Can you go to bed nights and you can lay down and the joy of the Lord is at 10 and the peace is just passeth understanding? And it says, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against there is no law. You can put as much of that in this foundation as you want of the fruits of the Spirit, and there's no law. And it's a foundation that will stand when the winds beat vehemently. Amen? What about this one? Love the brethren. First John 4:20 and 21 says these words: if someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, and I am positive there's nobody in here that hates the brothers, but maybe one just rubs against you a little wrong. How about that? He's a liar. And he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have found in him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Where do we stand? Where do I stand? Again, I'm not indicating that someone is in here and just don't like his brother. First John 3:16 to 18. By this we know love, because he has laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in the word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. There's a lot more verses I could read on that. But brothers, let's just go home and just take an inventory. And if there's an area that you're struggling in this one, let's work on it. If you're struggling, then it's a weak point in the foundation. And it gives the opportunity to start shaking. By the way, we're not on the rock yet, by the way. We'll just continue to dig a little deeper. And I got to keep moving here. What about compassion? What about compassion? I'm not sure I'm spelling these words right, but forgive me if I'm not. The greatest example for compassion I can give you is the Lord Jesus Christ. He had so much compassion for me that he gave his only begotten Son to die for me. The greatest definition of compassion is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is hurting. Who is hurting. And has maybe some type of misfortune, financially or whatever. Do we have enough compassion to wrap our arms around him or her? Say, how can I help you? Let's take Jesus Christ as that example. What about this one? What about that one? Submission. If you got your Bible, I know you do, turn to Ephesians 5. I tried to find other scriptures that talked about submission, and every time it went to here. So husbands and wives, how's it going? Ephesians 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. How is it? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with washing of the water by the word. If there's a problem with this in the home, forget trying to come here in the church body of Christ and be submissive to the authority. It won't work. This is a place I didn't want to go, but the scriptures took me here every time. So I believe it's serious. Brothers and sisters, and I don't know anything, okay? Please understand, I don't know anything. But how is it? How is it going between the husband and the wife? And I know there's differences. I know that. But how do we deal with them? I know how I dealt with them for years. I dealt with them my way. But God, in His great mercy, salvaged me from that. Hallelujah. I say, thank you, Jesus. How is it? Again, I know nothing. Now I'll go to the next one. And we heard last week, last Sunday, Brother Stephen, about this one. I'm going to ask the question. Are you husbands and wife dwelling together so close that the relationship with your children and the rest of your family, how is it? I'd like to read a scripture, and I'm going to give you my thought on it, and then if I'm wrong, please come tell me later on, and I'm okay with that, because I very likely could be. Very likely. I just heard this last night, and I'm contemplating on it. I believe I'm safe to say what I'm thinking, okay? I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 3. Turn your Bibles with me if you would. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Brothers and sisters, your work will be made manifest. You're not going to hide anything. Everything is going to come up front. very clear. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive his reward. Then, this is a verse that I never could understand. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, so by fire. Last night it was explained to me what this brother thought this verse meant. And I believe it comes right down to the relationship with our children. And possibly, it is so bad that some of the children won't make it. But Dad will. I don't know if that's what that means or not. I believe it'd be good to look into it. But Brother Stephen laid it out very clear last Sunday on relationships. Humility is another one. We're still digging. I'll just put humble. And the opposite of that is proud. And I don't think I'm going to take a lot of time to explain what humble means. But if we're struggling to come down underneath and just live in humility, it's a flaw. It's a flaw in the foundation. And at that point, you're not on the rock yet. But I'm assuming that everybody has that thing figured out and they're doing well. What about sound doctrine? What about sound doctrine? That's a big one. Sound doctrine. Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word as it has been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Titus 2:1, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. How do we determine if it's sound doctrine? Right here. If it lines up with this, then you're safe. Second Timothy 4:3. We are definitely living in this time. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We're living in that time that it seems to be just all right for men to listen to other doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itchy ears. 2 Peter 1:20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. It says what it says. Let's not try to tweak it and turn it. It won't work. There'll be a weak point in the foundation. And at that point, you're vulnerable to shake. To shake. So let's hear sound doctrine. There's much more that could be said on that. And the last one. Learn to listen. I'll put him up here. Did you ever struggle with that? Did you ever struggle with to listen? Whether you like it or not, I encourage you to listen. I could give you a testimony of a man that never listened to anybody. You're looking at him. From the age of I don't know how little, there's things I love to do when I was a little boy about that. And my dad told me, don't do that, don't do that. And I did it anyway because I didn't listen. And I'll tell you what one of those things were. I loved to pound nails. Well, a little boy like that, I'd get a hammer and I'd get a box of dad's nails. I'd drive over half of that box into the wood. Any piece of wood I get a hold of, my dad come, he was so frustrated. Don't do that. I did it again. Because I didn't know how to listen. I grew up that way. I got married. I don't know how to listen yet. It caused havoc. And I wasn't born again by this time. Please understand me. But I got some news for you. I got born again, and I still struggled to listen. Brothers and sisters, we need to learn how to listen. Somebody might know something about you that you don't really see. And if he comes and tells you about it, just open an ear to it. Don't just shove him off and you just don't know everything. Anyways, time went on. There was still havoc in the marriage and in my finances. Terrible in my finances. And there's a business came up for sale. And in my mind, I was almost certain that if I got that business, I could get ahead in my finances. But there was a small voice speaking to me, but you need to learn how to listen. And I just, another one, learn how to take advice. There was something gnawing in me, so just learn how to take advice and then listen. So guess what I done? For the first time that I can remember, I asked my dad for advice. And my dad went with me to look at this business. My dad had no idea what condition I was financially. But he come to me and he says, this is a good business. Buy it if you can. That was answer number one. So I went to the business owner. I said, I really would like to have this business. But financially, I can't buy it unless you be the banker. And I couldn't believe what the man said. He says, I'll be the banker and there'll be no interest. Right then and there, the first time I realized that God honored that by just asking for advice and then listen. It needs to be there, brothers. And now we're going to finish our foundation. And I'm trusting that we're all in here and we have dug all the way down. All the way down. And finished the foundation. And if all this, and there are many more things that could be in there. I thought of the fear of the Lord. I thought about holiness. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If these are in place, then you are ready for the winds to beat vehemently upon that foundation. And it will stand. Let's trust in the Word. Let's read it again. Let's read it again. Let's pay attention to what it says. It is the Scriptures, and it will stand. He is like a man which built his house, and he dig deep. He got down on the rock, brothers and sisters. He's taking care of all this stuff. He's put it in place. He's on the rock. Some noise comes toward him. Nope. When I say noise, it's unsound doctrine. Take heed. And he dig deep and he laid the foundation. He laid the foundation on the rock. And the streams beat vehemently. And when the floods arose and the streams beat vehemently upon that house, what does it say next? And he could not shake it. Brothers, it's that away. Sisters, it's that away. For it was founded upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Again, I'm not indicating anyone in here. That you're not on the rock. But if you are struggling, again, I repeat this. If you are struggling with any of these, maybe it'll take repentance. Maybe it'll take, I'm sorry. Maybe. Because brothers and sisters, we want to be together. And we want to meet in glory together. Right? Amen? And so there's something was said here today that for sure don't line up with this. I invite you, come talk to me. Don't think that I didn't struggle putting this together, because there's areas where I need to work on. But I believe today that my foundation is on the rock. And I endeavor to keep these principles alive and well. So may God bless you. And again, I'll see you after a while. We'll be gone for a while. And that's, we need your prayers, brothers and sisters. Because I'm going to be facing some things. I know I'm going to be facing things. That won't be pleasant. So pray for us, for me and my wife, that we can continue to inspect this foundation. That we can have this in its place, that we can love and have compassion and on right on down the line. But I believe this in here has to be in place. Right here. First and foremost. So again, God bless you, and thank you for being a good audience. God bless.